All right, praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals at this time for our final hymn this morning. Let's open up to hymn 50. I love this hymn because it talks all about the blessings that you and I enjoy every day as a believer. Showers of blessing, amen? And let's go with the first and second.
You want us to stand?
Please stand and sing it to the Lord. Yes, indeed. There shall be showers of blessing. It's a promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Amen. Please be seated, folks. Praise the Lord. Just a couple of announcements before we get to the word this morning. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table as a church family. Always a blessing. And then Wednesday night, we just started a brand new series this past Wednesday night, Galatians. The book of Galatians, verse by verse. What a blessing that's going to be for us all. I get blessed just preparing messages, so it's going to be terrific. And, of course, on Sunday evenings, we've started a brand new series on the wife of Yahweh and the bride of Messiah. The wife of Yahweh and bride of Messiah. Fantastic stuff. So if you're able, we'd love to have you. All right. Actually, let me, just before we get to the word, this packet came all the way from Pradesh, India. One of our faithful listeners on the website, and he's got quite a mission there. Yes, indeed. That's my friend. Praise the Lord. Dr. John Daniel Reba. John's Ministries, he calls it. John's Ministries. Andhra Pradesh, India. And sent us a nice Merry Christmas, Happy New Year card for the church. And oh boy, this is a little booklet all about his mission in India. So we can pass this around. Oh, wow. Oh, a lot of pictures of the folks there. What a blessing. Reaching the unreached with the gospel message in India. He said, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Dear Pastor Robert Oliver in Christ, greetings in the holy name of our Lord Jesus. I'm serving the Lord through a ministry named John's Ministry in a small town called Rapal, South India. John's Ministries is an interdenominational independent evangelical ministry, ministering with a team of 80 evangelists and Bible women in Andhra Pradesh, India. They have dedicated their lives to reach the unreached with the messages of the Lord. The ministry is reaching the rural folks with the gospel messages through mass evangelism, gospel crusades, church planting, youth retreats, children's Sunday schools, street preaching, distribution of tracts and Bibles, child care, widow welfare, and medical services as well. We're running two child care centers, namely John's Child Care Center at Alamdai Village with 149 children and Daniel's Child Development Center at Rapal Town with 92 children. We have 160 widows in our widow welfare center. We don't want sponsors to these children. Widows and evangelists, John's Ministries is working only on faith lines. Please pray and support these often destitute children, widows, and evangelists for his glory. Kindly join hands with us and make this service of God more fruitful. May God bless you and lead you in this way. Pray, please pray for the children, pastors, widows, and believers in our churches. We are all praying for you and your ministry. May our Lord richly bless you. So it's, you know, they're preaching the gospel. So praise the Lord for that. What a blessing. And India, my goodness, there's over 1 billion souls in India.
Yep.
Pass that around. And boy, they all need Jesus Christ, amen? It's a severely Hinduized nation.
Very Hindu.
Yeah. So let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to 1 Corinthians this morning. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll stand this morning for the reading of God's holy word. I spoke with Brother Joshua yesterday on Facebook, and his church is running 375 on Sunday morning. And for the first hour of the church, they play our Sunday morning sermon from the previous Sunday. So right now they're listening to last Sunday's message. And he says, Pastor, we all want you to come and preach for us here. You know, they want me to come and start a church there and everything. So it's just exciting how the Lord's using our ministry. Praise the Lord for that. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, beloved. And I want to speak to you this morning on a topic I've entitled Divine Ownership. Divine Ownership. In chapter number 6, look with me in your Bible. We have three brand new King James Bibles. Yes, please stand. Three brand new King James Bibles. If you're able, if you know someone that needs a Bible, let us know. We picked them up in Maine for real short money. You know, King James Bibles today, you can't give them away. NIV, they're flying off the shelves. They all want the perverted Bibles. But, you know, you got the real genuine Word of God, and they can't even sell them for, you know, a couple of bucks. So we grabbed the ones that they had. Praise the Lord for that. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Question, Paul asks, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this passage. We thank you for the far-reaching implications of this text and what it means. Oh God, we're so grateful that we are a purchased possession. We're so thankful that we've been bought with a precious price, even the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that we are owned by Jesus Christ. Lord, we'll boldly proclaim that to the ends of the earth, till our dying breaths, because we love belonging to you. We love the fact that you've purchased us. We love the fact that the devil can't have us. The world can't have us. The flesh can't dominate us, because we belong to Jesus Christ. And I love that part where it says, The Holy Spirit is in us, and we are one spirit with the Lord. And we're so grateful for it this morning. And oh Lord, there are so many believers in the world today that are saved. They're born again. They're on their way to heaven, but they do not understand this passage. They don't understand. They've never come to the realization that they belong to Jesus Christ, bought and paid for, and that we are your property, oh God. And oh God, there is an awesome responsibility that accompanies this purchase. There is an accountability that comes along with it. And oh God, we pray that you give us spiritual understanding in these truths today as we preach on divine ownership in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. There are a couple of songs I'm told. There's one song by a gal named Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus used to be Hannah Montana, the cute little Disney girl.
Yeah.
And Miley Cyrus has a song, I don't know the exact name of it, but it says, this is my body, this is my body, and we can do what we want. This is my body, we can do what we want. And then there's another gal, Katy Perry. Katy Perry is a very popular rock star. Her father is a pastor, a Christian pastor in California, and Katy Perry is an apostate. In an interview recently, she said, I am not a Christian. Never mind about my father. I am not a Christian. So she grew up in church. She's an apostate, as the Bible labels. But she has a song, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. The song is all about lesbianism. And what am I saying? I'm saying that these people do not understand that your body is not your own to do what you want with. And you cannot kiss a girl and like it if you belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? Beloved, listen to me. As I focused upon these verses this week in chapter 6, I found my heart aglow with the joy of knowing that God, some time ago, made this truth a reality in my own life. And I believe that every single believer must pass through a process of spiritual growth, just like a roller coaster, up and down, hot and cold, on and off, in and out, until you come to that realization that you belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? When we finally, the devil doesn't want us to understand this truth, but when we finally come to see the reality of our ownership, the divine ownership of God over our lives, oh, what a blessing it becomes to know that God loves me enough to take control of my life. Amen? God owns me. He owns my body. He owns my soul. He owns my spirit. He owns my mind. He owns my heart. He owns my will. And the day that we realize this, then we allow God to take complete control over our lives, is the day of deliverance. Amen? It's the day we begin to live that abundant Christian life that Jesus spoke of coming to give us. Glory to God. I want to call your attention this morning to three words. And I'll use verse 20 as my text. Take a highlighter or a pen and underline or highlight three words in verse 20. The word bought, the word price, and the word glorify. Glory to God. Now, these three words are crucial to understanding this passage. The first word I want to call your attention to is the word bought. In verse number 20. For ye are what?
Bought. With a price.
Ye are, present tense, bought. You've been bought and paid for, child of God. Oh, I'm so glad that I've been purchased by the one who knows what to do with me. Amen? Ye are bought. Look at chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 21. Art thou called, called to salvation, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Listen, you are the servant of Jesus Christ. You are not my servant. You are not the Pope's servant. You are not any man's servant. You are the servant of Jesus Christ. That's why these gals, I love the testimony, they're cube. They drive a cube. literally, it's a box, man. But on that cube, it has their ministry name on it. They go to nursing homes and they tell them about Jesus. Why? Because they're the Lord's servants. So are you. You have been bought and paid for. Oh, I love that fact. Go with me to Genesis chapter 17. Real quickly, I want to show you the law of the bondservant. The laws of the bondservant. In Genesis chapter 17, a man named Abraham, amen? He had some bondservants that he had purchased. Now, don't get the wrong idea. In the Old Testament, this was like a profession. If you didn't have a job and you're down and out, somebody would come along and you could become their bondservant. You would live with them, you'd do the dishes, you'd cook, whatever they want you to do. They'd pay a price for you. We don't do that today, of course, but it was a profession called bondservant. Look with me in chapter 17 of Genesis. Look at verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Now we know that physical circumcision in the Bible points or portrays the spiritual circumcision that we receive when we get saved. And that is the cutting away of the sins of the body, right? Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house, or what? Bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. He says here in verse 13 that your bondservants, the ones you paid for, are to be circumcised. Now let me ask you a question, church. Did those bondservants have a choice in the matter? No! He had the right, Abraham, as their owner, having purchased them, to do what he wanted with them. They didn't have all these rights like we have today. You can't even spank your children today. You know? I mean, how are you supposed to bring up a kid? It's ridiculous. The laws they passed, which are so unbiblical. But here, he said, you are to circumcise thy bondservants, the ones that are bought with thy money. Oh, you got to see the point here. Go with me to the same chapter. Go to verse 23. Look at this, verse 23. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male amongst the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. 27. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. They all had to be circumcised. Listen to me. You have been circumcised because you have been bought with a price. God had the right to circumcise away your sins. Amen? Colossians chapter 2 talks about the operation of God made without hands in the circumcision of your sins. I'm so glad they've been cut away. My sins are gone as far as the east is from the west, which is an infinite distance. Glory to God. Those that were bought didn't have a choice in the matter. Leviticus chapter 25. Look over here in Leviticus. We'll see it one more time before we move on. In Leviticus 25, look with me at verse 44. Verse 44. Both, God talking, both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, ladies, you're included, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn amongst you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and they shall be your what? Wow! God said when you purchase them, you own them. If you want them to cook you a meal, they have to do it. You want them to clean out the barn, they have to do it. Why? Because they're owned by him. It's 46. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen for a few days. No, forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. He's saying you own them. You have a right to do with them as you please. And my point is this. God owns you. God owns me. God has a right to do with us what he will. Amen? And I'm so glad that our God is all wise. Every decision he makes for your life is perfect because he knows what he's doing. I'm owned by the master of the universe who never has to say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. He's never made a mistake. He's never lost a battle. Amen? He bought us with a price. And notice in verse 46 how long this purchased possession is for. They shall be your bondmen forever. Oh, I love this. Not just for this life, but forevermore he owns me. I'm so glad he does. UPI, that's United Press International, reports from New York City that a rare Ming vase, which was bought for $150 in 1942, was auctioned off recently for $260,000. This little vase set a new record for highest price in America at auction for Chinese art. Listen, Mr. and Mrs. A. Douglas Oliver bought the vase for $150 in 1942 in an antique shop in Philadelphia. That's 72 years ago. Experts said the Ming polychrome jar was unusual in having five colors, whereas normally Ming vases have only two or three colors. Point being, they bought that vase. They owned that vase. And if they wanted to auction it off, they had the right to do so. Why? They bought it. They owned it. I'm simply saying this, beloved. God has purchased you. Oh, if God's people could only grab this truth. He has the right to do with your life as he will. I took my rights off of my life when I said, I do, Lord Jesus. And he said, I do too. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Go to Ephesians. We'll see it one more time. In Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm so thankful that I'm owned by the Son of God. He paid the price for me. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at this. Verse number 12. Oh, this is good. Paul speaking of the believer under the New Testament, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He's in you. 14. Holy Spirit, which is the earnest down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the what? Purchased possession under the praise of his glory. He said in verse 14, you already are. Not will be, not someday, not maybe. You already are a purchased possession. That means God owns you. That means he bought you. Look at it. He says, verse 14, the Holy Spirit is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. He's speaking about the physical body, folks. You know that you're 2/3 redeemed right now? What? That's right. You are perfectly redeemed. Your soul is totally redeemed. You have eternal life forever. But your body, we're waiting to wait for the redemption of the body. We're going to get a brand new glorified body that cannot sin. Indestructible, eternal, and glorious. Amen? I'm so glad of that. But until that day, look what he says here. You are already a purchased possession until the redemption of the body. You see that? He's not going to own me. He already does. I'm so thankful for that. From True Story Magazine, there are 8 reasons why a woman buys something. 1, because her husband says she can't have it. 2, because it will make her look thin. 3, because it comes from Paris. 4, because she knows the neighbors can't afford it. 5, this is actual facts, because nobody else has one. 6, because everyone else has one. 7, because it's different. 8, because, just because.
The truth is, beloved, that even though her husband might not like it, it's hers once she buys it. She owns it. She can do what she wants with it. She already bought it. It's too late. She used the plastic. Right? Listen to me.
It's too late. You already purchased. God can do with you what he wants.
You already purchased your glory to God. You bought. Oh yes, you bought. But secondly, this morning I want you to see, not only are you bought, but you bought with a price. Back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. With a price. With a price that is almost unmentionable. The price is so valuable. The price was so great that he paid. What is that price? Go with me to Acts chapter 20. Hold your place again in 1 Corinthians. Acts chapter 20. I want to show you the price that he paid for you and me. It's a great price. Paul is preaching up a storm in Ephesus. And his farewell address to the believers at Ephesus. They're weeping because they know the great apostle has to leave town. He has many more missions to establish. And in Acts chapter 20, he makes an incredible statement. In Acts chapter 20, look with me at verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. He gets all of the church together. And he says, boys, I've got a message for you from God. Listen very carefully. And drop down with me to verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own money. Amen. You got it, Marion. He hath purchased the church with his own blood. Whose blood?
Christ's blood.
Look again. Look again. He has made you overseers to feed the church of who? God. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. Listen to me, beloved. You were bought with a price, and that price was the blood of God Almighty. Wow! I said it last week. When Jesus Christ became a man, he didn't cease to be God. Do you understand the impact of what he's saying? God, our Maker, became one of us in order to give himself a ransom for many. Wow! He shed his own blood in order to purchase us, verse 28 says. What a price he paid! I'm so glad he didn't send an angel. I'm so glad he didn't send Moses or Elijah. He came himself, and he paid the price. He shed his blood. Glory to God. What price did God have to pay for you and me? Listen to me. When God wanted to make the universe and everything in it, he just spoke the word. But when he wanted to save Bob Oliver, he had to send his son to die. Wow! What a price he paid for the likes of me and you. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, beloved, it gets better. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, look with me at verse 17. I love it. Speaking to New Testament believers. And if ye call on the Father, I hope you do, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's being in awe of God and respecting his majesty. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. I love that. He says, silver and gold, those things that men covet after and they desire to get rich and they want more and more. He says it's corruptible things. Those are just corruptible things. But from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But ye were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He says you were bought with the price of the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. Wow! How great is this? Ephesians 1:7, don't turn there. He says, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, through his blood. Through his blood. Through his blood we have redemption. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning that he redeemed me. And he did it right because he paid the ultimate price. The highest price ever paid for a rough diamond was $10 million, ladies. The stone was 255 carats, discovered in New Guinea by William Goldberg Diamond Corporation in partnership with the Chow Tai Fook Jewelry Company of Hong Kong. It was discovered in March of 1989. $10 million was the price, but that's nothing compared to the price that God paid to purchase you and me back. Wow. Think about it. The ultimate price he paid. Go to Isaiah quickly. Isaiah chapter 1. I want to show you something, and then we'll move on. In Isaiah chapter number 1, the prophet writes of a purchased possession. And look what he says. Speaking of the children of Israel, who were God's property. He says this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. He says, those brute beasts in the barn are more intelligent than some of my people, because they know who feeds them. They know who owns them. They know who takes care of them. But my people don't. Folks, I'm afraid today that we've got a whole bunch of people that are saved and on their way to heaven that don't know their master's crib. They don't know that they're owned by God. Oh, how important and critical this message is for the church today to come to the realization that God owns me. When God wanted to create the universe and all things therein, he merely spoke the word and it was done. But when he wanted to save our hell-bound souls, he had to give his only son to die on the cross. The price that he paid to save you and me is astronomical. Listen, Joe Kirkofsky is America's blood donor champion. The American Association of Blood Banks will honor Joe, the 62-year-old retired security guard, at a special presentation this month in Chicago. Mr. Kirkofsky lost one arm in an accident when he was 6 years old. He was thence rejected for military service in World War II because of only having one arm. Since then, Joe has donated over 31 gallons of blood. The human body contains between 10 and 12 pints of blood. So Joe has donated more than 20 times his own blood supply. Quote, he said, and I quote, giving blood makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're contributing life itself. He says, there's no more precious a gift than life, and money can't buy the joy of giving blood to help someone who needs it. We needed the blood of God's Son to get eternal life, and he gave it with joy to those who needed it. Amen. Wow. I'm so glad that he gave his blood that we could live. Woo. Something else, though, I want you to see one more thing. Yes, we are bought. Yes, with a price. But thirdly, back in our text, notice what the result should be. Back in verse number 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify. Glorify God. In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They are God's. He owns them, and we need to glorify him because of it. I see five ways that we can glorify God in our body and in our spirit. First, we can glorify God by our praise and worship. Amen? That's what I love about this church. We love to worship the Lord. We never want to stop singing. Go with me to Psalm 22. We can glorify him first by praise and worship. And I'm not just talking about when we're... It's easy to worship God here. But do you worship him at home, in your prayer closet? Put in your favorite worship CD and lift your hands to the Lord. I'm not talking about making a public show. I'm talking about you and him alone, amen? And worship him. Oh, and the Holy Spirit will be all over you. Look at this. In Psalm 22, look at verse 22. We know this is messianic. This is a prophecy of Messiah, right? Verse 22. This is Messiah speaking, giving us an example. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, what's the next word? Glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. Why? For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. There's a good reason to praise him. He hears us. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord when you praise him. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship, spiritually rich. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. And the seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. He's saying, we're going to praise the Lord because he hears us, because he's redeemed us. We're going to glorify him. We're going to glorify him. This is one way we can glorify him, by our singing, praising, and worshiping him. I see a second way. In Matthew chapter 5, we can glorify our God by good works. Amen? People don't want to talk about good works anymore. Oh, you're just working for salvation. No, we're working because we are saved. Matthew chapter 5. I'm so glad that Jesus said there's a way you can glorify your Heavenly Father and men will know it. In chapter 5 of Matthew, look with me at verse 13. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. You give flavor to society, beloved. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You're a light bearer. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your what?
Good works.
Oh, we are called unto good works. You see that? That they may see your good works and
glorify
your Father, which is in heaven. Glory to God. We can glorify him by our good works. Thirdly, we can glorify our God by fruit bearing. Go to John chapter 15. We can glorify him by fruit bearing. Are you a fruit bearer? You know how you know an apple tree? It's got apples. You know how you know it's a pear tree? It produces pears, you know? It produces fruit. And they shall know them by their fruits. We're supposed to produce fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? That's how they know you're a Christian. You're supposed to be possessing fruits of the Spirit. Look at me in John 15. Look at verse number 8. Jesus says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. If you bear fruit, you're going to glorify your Heavenly Father. Go to verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit, souls you win to Jesus, should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He says you're supposed to be a fruit bearer, and by being a fruit bearer, bringing souls to Jesus Christ, you'll glorify him. You'll glorify him. We can glorify him by bearing fruit. Fourthly, we can glorify our God by spiritual unity. Go to Romans chapter 15. We're almost done. In Romans chapter 15, don't miss this. We can glorify our God by spiritual unity. You know, folks, there's so much division, and there's so much friction in churches today. It's amazing. The devil is just having a field day with God's people. Look with me in Romans chapter 15. And look at verse 5. Paul writes by the Holy Ghost. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Verse 6, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the what?
Glory of God.
Glory of God. He's saying when you live in peace and unity and of one mind and one accord, striving for the furtherance of the gospel, you will glorify God. You will glorify God. You know what unglorifies him? You know what brings him pain and heartache? Is when we're divided and when there's friction and when there's fighting and bickering and division in the church. He hates that. But when we're unified, it glorifies him, according to verse number 7 and according to verse number 6. Glorifying God. There's another way we can glorify God. We can glorify God by our entire consecration to him. Go back to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We can glorify God by our consecration to him. You know, we have a lot of people that are saved today in the world. We have a lot of churches that are like social clubs. You know, Osteen's got this massive stadium he fills. How many of those people are saved is my question. Look at with me here in our text. Verse 19. Question. What? Know ye not that your body, your physical body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Period. No, comma. And in your spirit, which are God's. You know what he's calling for? Complete consecration. Paul is saying all of you has to be on the altar of sacrifice to glorify God. You know what we want to do? So often we give God this and we give God that. We say, I'm going to reserve this little secret sin. It won't hurt nobody. Yeah, well, it'll hurt your consecration. You know, oh, the devil whispers in your ear, hey, psst, how about this? This will make you happy. No, it won't. It'll make you miserable. Don't listen to that liar. Complete consecration will make you the most joyful person. You'll be like, you know, somebody come up to you and call you a dirty name. You're like, oh, that's nice, you know. Why? I'm serious. Why? Because you're consecrated to God. Nothing shall offend him. Amen? Because you're consecrated to God. And beloved, he's saying, if you glorify God, both in your body and in your spirit, you're going to be joyful. You're going to be filled with peace and glory divine. Why? Because it glorifies God. Now, go with me over to chapter 7 again. And look at this. Look at verse 23. Verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's what?
Free man.
It doesn't say you're the Lord's bondslave or bondservant. It says you're the Lord's free man. He has set you free. Amen? He hasn't put you in bondage. He has set you free, but most Christians don't understand what that means. It means you are free to serve him now. You are free from the penalty of sin. You are free from demonic bondage. You are free from the world. You're free to glorify God. I love that. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that I am free to glorify my God. On March 23rd, 1743, when Handel's Messiah was first performed in London, the King of England was present in the great audience. It is reported that all were so deeply moved by the Hallelujah chorus that with the impressive words, "For the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth," the whole audience, including the king, sprang to their feet as one and remained standing throughout the entire Hallelujah chorus. From that time to this day, it has always been the custom to stand during the chorus whenever it is performed. With spontaneous joy, the soul stands to salute him who cometh in the name of the Lord. Why? For he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and to him we pledge allegiance, and him alone we will glorify. In closing, let me give you this. The great preacher, Jeremiah Wilson, says that in the days of slavery, when one had purchased a bond slave, he regarded that man's body and all that the body could do as his own. He tells of a ransomed slave whom a British merchant had purchased at a great price. The merchant, once in port, set the bond slave free. He said, "You're free to go," and wished him happiness and success. But that liberated slave clung to his purchaser and chose to follow him for the rest of his life wherever he went, serving him as none other ever did or could. Telling whenever he was asked the reason, he quote unquote, "He redeemed me. He freed me. He redeemed me." Beloved, listen. Gratitude and love bound him and made him what I might call, in opposition to a bond slave, a free slave. Now that is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. He has bought us not with money, but with his own life's blood. He has bought us and set us free, and so we are his free slaves. Amen?
Amen.
We are his free men, his free women. Oh, I'm so thankful today for that divine ownership that Jesus Christ has over you and me. Father in heaven, how we thank you. Lord, we are free men. We are free women because Jesus has set us free. Jesus has paid the price that no one else could pay, and Jesus has given us eternal liberty and freedom and the eternal life that he's given. We're so thankful today, and Lord, we just ask you to let this truth sink deep down into our spirits, that, Lord, we would carry this truth with us for the rest of our lives. That we would know that we've been bought and paid for and we are owned by the living God. I am so thankful, Lord, that included in that purchased possession is protection from the powers of darkness. Included in that purchase is blessing. Blessing in every area of our life. Included in that purchased possession is peace and joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, there are so many benefits to being purchased by you. But the greatest of all is that we will sit at your feet one day in glory forever and ever, worshiping you, praising you, and thanking you for purchasing us. Lord, this world has no idea what's coming down the pike. Lord, help us in these last days to warn the wicked, to warn the lost before it's too late, that they must get saved. They must get purchased by Jesus Christ, lest they split hell like a bullet, oh God. We wish no one was going to hell except the devil and his demons. But, oh Lord, the Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself to receive the multitudes that are descending into it. How horrifying to think, oh God. The worst thing of all about hell is that people will be eternally separated from the one who gave them life. Lord, we just thank you today that any man, any woman, boy or girl, can be purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, can be divinely owned by Jesus Christ, if they only will. Help us, Lord, to shout it from the rooftops, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. In your holy name we pray. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals this morning. We will have an hymn of invitation. And this altar is open in case you need to do business with the Lord. Let's open up our hymnals to hymn number 67, an appropriate hymn for the message this morning. Hymn 67 says it all, because Jesus paid it all. Amen? Hymn 67, sing it to the Lord, and if you need to hit the altar, feel free. Whatever the need is, he'll meet you halfway. Amen? Glory to God. We're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hymn number... Oh, have I got the wrong... Yeah, I do. Okay. Make that, yes, make that 84. Sorry, folks. Yeah, indeed. It was close, but no cigar there. In 84, William Featherstone wrote the incredible words to this hymn. First, second, and fourth.
I don't think that's the right hymn.
No. Did I do it again? 20. Oh, you know what?
Got the wrong disc.
Yeah, that's what it is. Wow. Wrong disc, indeed.
Find the song for that one.
Yeah.
And we'll go with it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. 145. This better be right. 145. Praise the Lord. And we'll sing the first, second, and third. Yeah, 145.
I stand and cast a wishful eye. Oh, demons there and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. O'er all those white extended plain shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. Amen! I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen! Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the message this morning. And there may be one here today that you've spoken to their hearts by your Holy Spirit, by an uplifted hand. You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that hand. Pray for me, Pastor. Oh, I see that hand and I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Lord, hands are up and you see their need. What, maybe it's a little lack of consecration. Maybe it's a personal need that only you can meet, Lord. But whatever it is, in Jesus' name I pray you'd meet them, O God, in this need. Whatever it may be, supply it, O God, and make it a reality in their lives. And have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, we are the clay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this invitation of response and your working in the hearts of your people. And we just ask you to bless and continue to make this truth a reality in our lives, that each and every day we'd know when we get up in the morning, I belong to Jesus. I will glorify my Father this day. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. On the third.
When I reach that happy place, I'd be forever blessed. When shall I see my Father? In his bosom rest. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people. What a blessing to have you in church this morning. I love you all. And if you can, 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be back in our studies of the wife of Yahweh and bride of Messiah. Brother Cal, if you would dismiss us in prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for the price you paid.
Yes, Lord.
You know, Lord, there's nothing in this world or beyond that we could do that would repay that price or even come close. But, Lord, let us show our gratitude through our service to you, through our praise of you. For constantly giving you the glory for all that we are and all that we can be, and for all that goes on in our lives, Lord, that it's because you've granted us that great salvation that so freely you bestow upon each and every one that will simply ask for it. I ask you, Lord, to be with all of us, watch over and guide us, Lord, keep us safe, and bring us back this evening. And I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.